Today, we'd like to see the title of a very beautiful in the 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 27. To align with the people on the earth, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 2, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. What's David's heart now, and how should he have done? Question 2, in verse 13. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but he did not go down to his house. Why did David make Uriah drunk? And what were its consequences? And how should we do when we are tempted by sin? Or we commit a sin? Question 3, in verse 15. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die. What was Joab doing? And how should Joab have done? The time of great success is likely the time of great danger of a spiritual failure. Last time David got a big victory, 2 Samuel chapter 10, verses 18, 19, David killed 700 charioteers and 40,000 horsemen of the Syrians and struck Sobach, the commander of their army, who died there. And when all the kings who were servants saw all enemies' kings were servants to Hadadzer, so that they were defeated by Israel. So David defeated all allies of enemy Ammonite. So Ammonite allies, one Syrian, also other kings, destroyed all enemy allies. They made peace. So enemy allies made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians were afraid to help the people Ammon anymore. So Ammon is the main enemy. So Syrians and all other Gentiles were allies of Ammon. After this huge victory, David, in this chapter 11, committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah, her husband, with Joab in conspiracy. If you have a huge victory, don't stay on it to lift up yourself or to glorify yourself, because it was done by God through you, and God should be glorified, not you should be glorified. God should be glorified. And go forward upon God's calling or your cross given by God for God's prize. Because Paul made a testimony, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, 14. Brothers, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to have already achieved it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are already achieved, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So he really focused on God's calling. So he is going forward to receive reward from God, forgetting already achieved the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed or pay attention, watch for, lest he fall. So the time of great success is likely the time of great danger of spiritual failure. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, disciple prayed to the Lord, take away my illness, he said, is my thorn of flesh. But Jesus said to disciple, my grace is sufficient for you, because of my strength, Jesus' strength, or God's strength, is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, disciple said, I will rather boast in my infirmities, which means in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So God's strength is in my humble heart, in my humility, or in my weakness. Then we are seeing the background. David's adultery and murder, deadly sin, which meaning David would be subject to death penalty because David violated seventh commandment of a 10 commandments given by God to Moses. Adultery, sixth commandment, murder. So David's penalty subject to death penalty. But David's sin later would be forgiven by God in full upon his repentance. But the consequences of his sins would occur. So 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, 14. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. So David confessed his sin. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, Nathan delivered God's word to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. The Lord forgive your sin. Therefore, you shall not die. You shall not subject to death penalty. However, because by this deed, this sin, you have given great occasion to the enemies. Enemies is devil or Satan. Enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. So the devil gave trouble to you. The child also who is born to you shall surely die. So David conceived Bathsheba, their child shall be dying. So therefore, the consequence of his sins would occur. God's grace is amazing over the extreme worst sins. Because God, you know, forgave entirely David's sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Which meaning, you sins a lot. So God forgive your sin, so God's grace is also abound. So which meaning, the more sin, the more grace. So then, disciple Paul said, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Which means in order to get more grace, you are continually sin more. The answer, certainly not. Absolutely not. Why? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Because Jesus was there on the cross for our sin, so no longer we could not live the sin any longer. That's why we could not commit the sin again. So, repentance is followed by spiritual works. So, is Book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 20, do works benefiting repentance, do works meet repentance, which meaning is repentance should be followed by spiritual works. So since then, David never committed adultery again or murder again. Then disciple Paul message, the God said, Book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So God said, David, a man after my own heart, a man following after God's own heart. So David will do all my will. David will do all God's will. So therefore, we see pardoned sins. Most sins are pardoned or forgiven sins, except two of them. Number one, unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior during his or her life. God gave you a life, physical life. So during your life, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, so that sin is unpardoned, unforgiven. So which meaning you is in hell. So John chapter 3 verse 18, Jesus said, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. The Bible continually said, Jesus, the Son of God. If you do not believe Jesus, Son of God, you are already condemned, which means you are already in hell. So you should believe Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Then, blasphemy against the Spirit. So that meaning cursing word against the Spirit of God. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy, cursing word, will be forgiven man, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven man. So therefore, except the two sins, unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior during his or her life, and blasphemy against the Spirit. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Confess our sins, which means if we repent our sin, God is faithful, our Lord is faithful, and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So whenever you commit a sin, you confess your sin or you repent your sin, that time God forgives all your sin, including unknown unrighteousness as well. This one is another question. The last time Bible study, one sister in Christ, she asked me, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, how many wives did David have? So here, David had already seven wives. So Ahinoam, Abigail, Maacah, Haggith, Abital, Eglah, Mishal, taking the eighth wife, Bathsheba. Now, that is the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 20, 21. Talking about disciple, Saul the king, gave his daughter Michal to David's wife in the first time. Then 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 40, when the servant of David had come to Abigail, widow of Nabal, at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. Then David also took another woman, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laishi, who was from Galilee. So Saul, the king, took over David's first wife, Michal, to another guy. Then in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 to 5, 14, there is a wife name is listed right there. Sons were born to David to inherit him. His firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam, the Jerusalemite. Ahinoam's first wife. Second wife, Keilah by Abigail, the widow of Nabal, is the second wife. The third, Absalom's son. The third wife, Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth wife, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. So Adonijah, first son, is the first wife is Haggith. The fifth son is Sephatai. Wife name is Abital. So that one is, the last one is Michal, come out. Verse 14, David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, give me my wife Michal, whom I betrothed to myself for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. So David had already 7 wives, so is taking Bathsheba, the 8th wife. So here, you, each of them in New Testament time, as a person in whom the Spirit of Christ lives, is greater than David the king. You are now the greater than the David king. Why? Jesus said, Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, every people were born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. So in the Old Testament time, John the Baptist the greatest, which means John the Baptist is greater than David, Daniel, Moses, Samuel, all of them. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven. So now, New Testament time, all born again Christians belong to the kingdom of heaven, because the Spirit of Christ lives in all born again Christians. So he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, greater than John the Baptist. Therefore, each of you is greater than David the king, because the Spirit of Christ lives in you. Christ himself is greater than David. So let's see verse 1. I am reading fastly. So verse 1, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle. So kings basically meaning as the enemy, the allies kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. So after the huge victory, David felt not necessary for him to go. Already he got a big victory, so he sent us his chief of army, Joab, and all other soldiers sent them, and they destroyed the people of Ammon, so enemy, destroyed and besieged Rabbah. Rabbah is the capital city. The 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 26, the royal city of Ammon. Ammon is located the Dead Sea or Salt Sea, right-hand side. But David remained at Jerusalem. Verse 2. Then it happened one evening. Now evening, David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. So Israel house roof flat. So usually Israel house, the flat roof over there, they made a garden. So here David walked on the roof around the garden. So David, from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to behold or look upon. Here, she appeared very beautiful. David committed adultery in his heart because David conceived the desire, lust for adultery. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, but I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Also, James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So David is tempted for adultery by his own desire, his own lust. Then when desires has conceived, so David's desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So next step, coming of sin. Sin is adultery. Adultery is heart plus work. Heart plus word, and sin, when it is full grown, bring forth death. So first desire, David saw Bathsheba, the bathing her body, so is the desire had already conceived into David's heart, the lust, David's heart. So the desire to conceive the lust give birth to sin. Sin here, adultery coming out. Adultery come out. That adultery growing to spiritual death. Not only that, David first time is, David said, you know, is she is so beautiful. So then already David committed adultery in his heart, according to Jesus' word. That is conceived his heart, lust. That coming to sin, give birth to sin, is verse 3. So then is a sin is growing to spiritual death. So David killed Bathsheba's husband and other innocent soldiers as well. So verse 3, the question one says, in this case, when this happens, we should leave there immediately. So David should have left on the roof immediately, then seek God's counsel. God's counsel, which means pray at the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So immediately leave there, David should have prayed to the Lord, Lord, help me so not to be tempted to sin of adultery, protect me. So they asked God, but here David didn't pray, didn't ask. Then rather than, verse 3, David sent and inquired about that woman, and someone said, someone is some biblical scholar said, he would be Ahithophel. Ahithophel, the grandfather of Bathsheba. Grandfather of Bathsheba. So asked Bathsheba, Bathsheba searched her, so her kid's granddaughter, it said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? Eliam is Ahitophel's son and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. But here, probably, Ahitophel had bitterness against David. So David's son, third son Absalom, made a rebellion. The next chapter, that time is Ahitophel gave counsel to Absalom against David. That is talking about is 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12, also 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 14, 23. So David described the Ahitophel, Psalm chapter 55, verse 12, so David said, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me. So Ahitophel, from beginning, David's counselor, but later Ahitophel betrayed against David. David said, David's son, it is not an enemy who reproaches me, who scolds me, then I could bear it. Because I am deserved to be reproached by Ahitophel. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. David described Ahitophel, his former counselor. But later, Ahitophel committed suicide. Because his counsel was not adopted by Absalom, because David made another tricky spy counselor attached to Absalom. So Absalom took the spy counselor opinion. His name is Hushai. So Hushai counsel took over Ahitophel counselor. So because of that, Absalom failed rebellion against the king of David. So Bible said, allowed by God in that way. First of all, then David sent messengers and took her, likely the government king's authority, took her, and she came to him. And he lay with her, committed adultery. So first the desire of lust, the heart there, that is conceived, the heart conceived into David's heart, that giving birth to sin of adultery coming here. Here is David's lust, desire, gives birth to sin of adultery. Here, the question, why not Bathsheba refuse to lay with him or commit the adultery? The seventh commandment of the 10 commandments given by God to Moses. So against God. So subject to death penalty against God. So she, if she refuses to David's request, actually David's king's order, she would be subject to punishment or death penalty from King David. Nevertheless, she should have refused it because of spiritual conscience's sake. She, as a child of God, should be subjected to government authority unless it is against spiritual conscience or God's authority. Because Romans chapter 13, verse 5, last week we studied, therefore, you must be subject to government authority, not only because of wrath, government authority wrath. In this case, King David's is punishment, but also for conscience sake, but also for spiritual conscience sake. So we must subject to government authority unless it is against God's authority or against the spiritual conscience sake. For example, here, somebody, you know, blocking our worship to God, so we should not, you know, obey to somebody's order against God. So because of my spiritual conscience sake, or your spiritual conscience sake. Also, Book of Acts chapter 5, verse 29, disciple Peter and other apostles were blocked to preach gospel there. Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, "We should obey God rather than man." So we must subject to government authority, for example, telecovilla authority, or you know, coming from you know, government authority, local authority, unless it is a conflict, it is against God's authority or a spiritual conscience sake. So here, Bathsheba should have refused to David King, even if she bear punishment or death. So here, four, because she was cleansed from her impurity. That is according to Leviticus. Leviticus require the purification rites after menstruation. So cleanse the body, you know, 7 days later. So she made a you know, certain offering to God. That is a purification rite according to Old Testament Leviticus. Then in the verse 5, and the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Simply meaning, David, I am pregnant. I am pregnant. Then verse 6, then David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. So his desire, how come David asked Joab to bring Uriah? In order to cover up his desire to cover his sin of adultery, grows deeper toward the spiritual death, because the desire is controlled by devils. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 said, "We do not wrestle against the flesh and blood," which means we do not wrestle against a person, a body, "but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness over this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So somebody asked us to stop in worship, not we are fighting against that person, but behind that person, the power of darkness, the power over devil, the power over Satan. So here, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 to 8, "Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil," ultimate devil, "works about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." So Satan working like a roaring lion to devour you, whatever chance, in that way. So therefore, is our battle against the devil, the power of darkness. Also, when you commit a sin, if you do not pray, if you do not seek God's counsel, devil controlling you instantly to cover up your sin. That is indicates Adam and Eve as well. Adam and Eve took her the forbidden fruit. That time, Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, "Then the eyes of both of them, Adam and Eve, were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed the fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." So since nature cover up their own sin. Also, the Moses as well. Moses killed Egyptian swords. So Moses covered Egyptian soldiers' body in the soil. Exodus chapter 2, verse 12, 14. So Moses looked this way and that way. When he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." So Moses made a murder, so he also intended to cover up his sin of murder, you know, as well. Verse 7, when Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the world prospered. So David asked about Joab, people, the world, interaction for sneaky strategy to make Uriah sleep with his wife Bathsheba, because Uriah already conceived the David's sin. So that's why David, the sneaky plan is to cover his sin. Verse 8, David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. So David appeared gracious to his soldier beyond his desire to cover the adultery. Verse 9, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all servants of his lord. Here his lord, which meaning Joab, and did not go down to his house. Verse 10, so when they told David, saying, "Uriah did not go down to his house," David said to Uriah, "Did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your home?" So Uriah said, verse 11, the ark, which in Old Testament time, the God is present on the Ark of Covenant, so which means before God, and Israel and Judah. Israel is the northern side, the people called Israel. Southern, the people of Israel called Judah. So before people of Israel are dwelling in tent. And my Lord, Joab is the chief of army, and the servant of my Lord are encamped in the open fields. So Uriah expressed the loyalty to God, people, and Joab, the chief soldier, and compassion upon other soldiers. So shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? Simply, my friends, my servants, all of them slept in an open camp uncomfortably. So I could not go to sleep with my wife, you know, comfortably. So basically, is Uriah want to sit on the same boat of others. As you live, as your soul lives, I will love do this thing. Then, number 12, then David said to Uriah, "Wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. So David made Uriah drunk. Verse 13, now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. David made Uriah drink, so after Uriah was drunk, he might go back to his home subconsciously or unconsciously. But at evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord. He did not go down to his home. So not lying with his wife in order to cover up David's adultery. Verse 14, in the morning it happens that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. Very cruel strategy right here. A sealed letter through Uriah delivered to Joab. So Uriah didn't know he is going to be killed by David's cruel trick. Verse 15, Uriah delivered that sealed letter to Joab. And he wrote in the letter, David wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat or retire from him that he may be struck down and die. So David's put in meditation to deliver his intent to kill Uriah through Joab. Why did not Joab refuse David to kill Uriah? If so, Joab would be subject to punishment or death penalty from David. But as a child of God, Joab should have refused David's order because of spiritual conscience sake. See verse 4, in the same boat over Bathsheba, Bathsheba also, she should have refused to commit adultery with David. So here, Joab also should refuse to David's the murder in conspiracy. Verse 16, so it was while Joab besieged the city and he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew there was a valiant man. So Joab delivered David's intent to kill Uriah in conspiracy of killing him. Verse 17, then the men of the city, the capital city of Ammon, came out and fought with Joab, and some of the people of the servant David fell. So some servant of David dead as well. Uriah the Hittite died also. Uriah was killed, so David and Joab are liable for first degree murder of Uriah, and the second degree murder of some servants in conspiracy, violating the sixth commandments, God's commandment, so against God. Here, not only Uriah, but also some servants were killed, innocent servants were killed. Sin often hurts not only targeted victim, but also innocent victims. For example, divorce. Divorce is not only impact the separate the spouse, but is impacting the children, you know, as well. Also, addiction, you know, situation. Addiction not only hurt addicted person, also the family members as well. Verse 18. Then Joab sent and told David all things concerning the word. So Joab reported through messenger to David and charged the messenger, saying, when you have finished telling the matters of the word to the king of David, if it happens that the king's wrath rises because of a stupid strategy, too much closer to enemy gate, and he says to you, why did you approach it to so near to the city when you fall? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? So too much close to the entrance of the enemy gates. So that is a foolish strategy. Verse 21, who struck Abimelech? Abimelech is a judge. Is before Samuel, the judge. The son of Jerubbaal was it not a woman who cast a piece of a millstone on him from the wall. The judge also so much close to enemy wall. So he, that is Judges chapter 9, verse 53. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull, so that he died in Tebez. Why did you go near the wall? Then you shall say, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and told and reported David all that Joab had sent by him. And the messenger said to David, surely the man prevailed against us and came out to us in the field. Then we drove them back as far as the entrance of the gate. So basically Israel troops followed, pursued the enemy who retreat to enemy gate. The archers shot from the wall at your servants, and some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said to the messenger, thus you shall say to Joab, not wrath against the messenger, rather than do not let this thing displease you, for because the sword devours one as well as another, strengthen your attack against the city, the capital city over Ammon, Ramah, and overthrow it, so encourage him. So David encouraged the messenger. David appeared a good king, not rats, but a jolt. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband, probably 7 days. And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house. Here David appeared a merciful king who took a poor widow of his soldier, the eighth wife. She became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So God knows all things, no secret. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. God's thought like the sands of the sea. So God knows everything. So here, only God displeased the Lord. So God, you know, this one delivered to next chapter, Nathan. So David confessed his sin. Then his sin was forgiven, as we previously told. Let's see each question in brief. Question 1 and verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. What David's heart now? David's heart conceived the lust or the desire for adultery. And how should he have done? So he should leave from the roof immediately, then seek, you know, God's counsel to avoid the temptation of that sin. Question 2 in verse 13. Now when David called him Uriah, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servant of his Lord Joab, but he did not go down to his home. Why did David make Uriah drink? David wanted to cover up his sin of adultery with Uriah's wife. And what were its consequences? Consequence is the murder over Uriah, and also innocent David's soldiers as well. And how should we do when we are tempted by sin? Or we commit a sin, immediately confess seeking God's counsel in that way. in verse 15, and he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die. What is Joab doing? Joab obeyed the king's the order without asking, you know, why. So, and how should Joab have done? For Joab's spiritual conscience sake, he should have refused the, you know, king's order. Then, you know, he should have subject to king's, you know, punishment, because he ought to obey God rather than man. Let us sing all together on bulletin last song. Please note this online word for global crusade, in effect, develops from sermon into spiritual transformation into the image of Christ in daily fellowship with the Lord throughout Bible study and discipleship. We think that any human opinion is not really important rather than what God says. So the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible per se. But the opinions to make us understand God's word have been accepted in light of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Thank you, everybody. Come to Jesus. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior have a daily fellowship with our Lord. Our Lord is a favored to a donation method rather than to a commercial business method in His church, because our God is pleased to see our heart to love the just God in loving relationship or fellowship rather than a legal relationship under a bond agreement of the business. So the donation, tithes, and offerings must be rooted from free will or a cheerful heart, not be forced, flattered, or grudged. In Luke chapter 11, verse 42, and Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Here is an opportunity to lay up your treasure in heaven. In light of Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, through your cheerful donation, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, to call Calvary Chapel and I'm Hills. Mail to car, P.O. Box 27693, Anaheim Hills, California 92809, USA. With by personal check or a company check, cashier check or a money order issued to car. Or with testamentary will, deed of land, or bill of sale for car, other assets, to beneficiary car. Number two method, donation, wire transfer to car. Through wire routing transit number 12200247, online account number 63141318782, and international SWIFT BICWFBIUS number 6S. Any donation by person or a company is a tax deductible in USA. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, and Luke chapter 12, verse 34. Care is never dependent upon donations, but upon our Lord alone. How about the care? Calvary Chapel and Am Hills Care, His Church, never thinks that it is not unsuccessful because it is seeking to become a loving church like Philadelphia rather than Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 and 17. And that every ship is seeking to be called a good and faithful servant, being present with the Lord in Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 through 23. But anyone has not attained the success or the perfect pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In light of Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 up to 14. Car is indigent, but is rich toward God. Luke chapter 12, verse 21. Because every quarter donation has been spent for nearly equally between local members, modalities, and those reaching outside the church, sodalities. Car, as a global church, has been ministering as to the Lord through not only this online word for global crusade, but also addict healing ministry, ASAP medical mission, biblical marital counseling, car pressure, Bible study in English, Farsi, Korean, Spanish, and Tagalog. And homeless ministry, Jewish education for Christ, many mission fields, about 20 fields, and the veteran ministry. By any donation, you can designate a particular ministry or a particular country in the mission fields. For details, you may check CalvaryChapelAnnHills.com or mobile website m.CalvaryChapelAnnHills.com or ccAnnHills.com or CalvaryChapelAnnHills.org. New book was published, Liberty from Capitalism, Daily Fellowship with Our Lord, available at Amazon.com. Thanks and God bless.